You are now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everybody feeling out there this Monday?
Feeling great.
Yeah, feeling good, feeling great. Listen, before we get started, I got a couple shout-outs, man. I got a love on a couple people in the building. First of all, I want to start out with my DJ, DJ Unique, man. He always keep us going in this building. Everybody, like, everybody's dancing, head bobbing. Like, it's a whole vibe. He sets the atmosphere, and it is always, always love. So shout-out to DJ Unique, man. I appreciate you. Next shout-out, man, listen. Crafting Queen Lonnie has hooked me up. It'll be up on my IG. It'll be up on my social media, Facebook, every page that I am. I'm going to show off her work because she deserves all the praise that she can get from me, especially because I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. So, listen, I'm not going to open this back up, Reese, so you're just going to have to get that. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, when we're getting started right now, man, I got a guy with me, man. We chopped it up a little bit earlier today. And we were just vibing, not only on some, like, you know, we talk sports all the time, but we kind of step away into the culture. And the culture involves more than just sports. It involves music, and we all love music, like we were just talking about with my guy Unique over here, man. He keep us rolling, keep us feeling good. I got the one and only Poetic in the building. Poetic, how are you, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Always feeling good. Glad to be here.
Listen, man, you were telling me some of the stuff that you had going on with Soul For Real and some of the other artists that you were working with, and I just want you to tell everyone what you have going on, man.
All right, man. So, first of all, shout the blends to
yes, sir,
my brother DJ Unique, the Commissioner Gordon. And we're going to start this thing off like I'm the number one inspirational hip-hop artist in the country.
That's
number one, and sustained that spot for quite some time. And we'll get more into that. But however, I do work with a lot of big names, and our conversation was very, very important, mm-hmm. just like the conversation we had about the sports a few weeks ago. I'm watching the game earlier, and as athletes, we should be able to acknowledge when they are doing it the right way.
Right.
Somebody should be able to sit on the sideline and say, oh, okay, why did they just mess up that fast break when we supposed to practice that in practice? You see what I'm saying? So it's a difference between just a spectator, somebody who actually played the game. So the same thing with the music business. I've been in the music business since 2001. First time I opened up for T.I. was in 2001. And it's changed so drastically.
Right.
The deals, the labels, there's a contention between the artists, the labels, the radio stations, mm-hmm. the DJs, and there's not a relationship that's being formulated that everybody knows their place.
So quick question. With the internet, has that further strained the relationship?
Absolutely. Because the internet gave the artists the ability to move without the label.
Right.
To move without having management, to move without, they can put themselves on display without having to pay for a publication, without having to go through magazines and billboard companies and, you know, the necessary channels to actually put a release out. So now it's giving everybody the opportunity to say, hey, I'm an artist. But they don't really know what being an artist means.
And that's kind of what the label helped out with.
Right.
When you had your A&Rs, you had your people, your managers, your publicists, all these people that were hands-on with the artists, they kind of showed you what to say, what to do, how to act in public. Because you see it now, a lot of these young artists, they don't know. And so they're going off of raw emotion, just saying whatever they feel at the time, and then they reap the repercussions later on.
Right.
So is it to you more beneficial to be with a label rather than to be independent?
I would say the benefit is based upon the artist, I would say yes, it's better to be with a label.
Okay.
Backed by a label. Because if you don't know what to do, then how can you do it?
Right.
So we're just, a lot of artists, I get on artists all the time. I'm actually A&R for Raz B from B2K2. Shout out to Raz B and U42. A lot of artists, they're shooting their own selves in the foot by saying, I got my song out, I released it, and I'm out here performing the song, and the song is not registered, nor is it copywritten, nor is it out for anybody to go and support them.
Some of these guys don't even have their songs mastered.
Not even properly mixed, not properly mastered, and it's just a song. Right. It's a concept is what they have. So with the labels back in the day, they had it in their mind, I'm going to cultivate this artist and make them into an entity. So it took about 3 to 6 months of artist development with them coaching you, teaching you about damage control, separating yourself from the ordinary people, and subjecting yourself into artistry fully. And so there was a fine line between who was an artist and who wasn't. You just knew it when you saw, like, wow, that person is somebody.
So, but I would say this, though, because I was telling you I was watching the Kanye documentary earlier. The label also could pick and choose who the next up-and-coming person was. Like, it's almost like just watching that documentary. If Kanye wasn't the hustler that he was, he wouldn't be the artist that he would be, because a lot of times he was overlooked by Rockefeller as just the dude that made beats.
Right.
So, and with those type people, they say, well, I don't need the label because I can do it all on my own.
Sure.
But in fact, like you said, you need to have that entire team around you to kind of give you that guidance and that structure, because otherwise you're just walking off blind.
Exactly. And since you said Kanye, I was actually connected to Kanye indirectly during that time period.
Okay.
Me and Deputy was real tight. There were three producers for Jay-Z at the time. There was Pharrell, there was Deputy, and there was Kanye. And a lot of projects they worked on together, and they all had their own beats as well. So what Deputy would tell me is that, see, Jay-Z wasn't really doing nothing wrong per se, but he was just going to keep them where they were.
Right.
And he said he would buy our beats. They was off the street. He would pay us $1,500 a track. But he also would take them out with them to the club.
Right.
And Depp was like, every time I go out with Jay-Z, I spend my $1,500 just being out.
Right.
And Jay-Z got ends on the club, so it's like he's planning to do that. You see what I'm saying? So he was getting his money back on the back end. And you can't say it's malicious, but it's just it's the
kinda,
lifestyle.
It's kind of keeping you where you are. You have to continue to work for me.
Right.
And a lot of times that happens, and not just in the music business. It happens in a lot of industries where someone in control gets used to you doing a certain job or a certain thing, and they get comfortable with you doing it, and they trust you doing that.
Facts.
And when it comes time for you, we all want to grow. And when it's time for me to grow, and I come to you saying, hey, man, I want to spread my wings a little bit. I want to grow a little bit. And you're like, yeah, that's cute and all, but hey, can you do what I asked you to do?
And you heard it here first, and you won't ever hear this again. But Deputy, the same producer that produced the record, Bitch Better Have My Money for Rihanna.
Right.
He lost his job because of me. Because when he called me, he said, man, I'm tired of doing this. I'm tripping. He was drunk. He was frustrated. And I said, bro, why don't you just register your beats?
Right.
He said, what do you mean? I said, I have a representative. Back then, you had to have a representative with ASCAP. I've been with ASCAP since 2004.
Yeah.
So my representative was in Brooklyn, Tia. She was with ASCAP. I said, go see Tia. She'll help you register your tracks. And then when you go back to Jay-Z for the next wave of beats, then you can tell him, it's all good. I'm going to get back in anyway.
Right.
So, you know, take these tracks. Jay fired him.
Because he didn't want to split that back in.
That was when they was making the Black album.
Right.
But then Epic picked him up because they was like, we need a producer like you. And he's been on his own. Established since then. So, and then that's when, and Kanye, he told Pharrell. They didn't really understand it, but they stayed with Jay. But right. Then later on, that's when they got the tutelage, like, oh, this is what happened. They seen what happened. So that was me doing that.
So, and that's why it's important to have people like you on the staff, man, because I don't have time. If I'm an artist, I'm a producer, I'm out here doing my thing every day, like a producer. You almost all the time, 24/7, in front of this beat machine, in front of this computer, in front of this screen, in front of this board,
right.
And you making beats. You need somebody to have that that knowledge to read up on your rights and your laws and everything.
Let's take it back sports. Every team has a coach.
Right.
Manager. And the game is the referee.
So I got a better scenario. We're talking sports. Lamar Jackson has come time for his contract to come up, and he is represented by himself, him and his mother.
Right.
And he is basically going out on a leap of faith, mm-hmm. thinking that Baltimore is going to do right by him just because he was an MVP, just because he's the franchise player. He's thinking they're going to do right by him and give him this contract like Pat Mahomes or like one of these other, like Dak Prescott or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. And he's believing that they're going to do right by him. But he doesn't have those agents that those guys have. He doesn't have the people that they can call up, and the teams already have relationships with. They already know how to negotiate with. They don't have that. So I was watching ESPN a little earlier this morning, mm-hmm. and every player that was on the broadcast was saying, get you some representation. The GM, the one guy that was a former GM, was basically right. like, oh, no, nah, you know, the team will do it. He was talking that GM shit. Like, right. no, nah, we'll look out for you. And everybody was like, man, hell no. Nah.
Listen, I'm not saying it's unheard of and it's impossible. Because there was a Master P that walked up in Universal and went from getting less than 7% to walking out with 85% and the label having 15%.
Right.
That was the first time. Lil Wayne did it later on the same way. Baby. Okay, yeah. Baby and Lil Wayne. So it's not unheard of. However, it's very, very cautious. I mean, it's tricky, you know, because you don't know everything. It's just like going to court without a lawyer.
Right.
You know, you can do it, and it has happened, and people win.
Right.
But 9 times out of 10, if that other person got Johnny Cochran and you're Johnny, I'm going to do it myself, man, you're going to get ate alive. Because it's just terminology. It's things that they know that you don't know, and you can just get swallowed up.
Right.
And that's why I try to educate artists on what they need to know. Now, most of them are not even ready for the conversation. However, you can't say you didn't know now.
Right.
So now you got the option to either be lazy and not do it or pay me to do it, or you can go do it yourself, and now you can become an artist.
So now my question to you is, are you a standalone entity, like it's just me, one and only Poetic, or do you have a consulting firm? Because, like, you know, I'm sure, you know, Atlanta, you can throw a rock and hit 8 guys who trying to rap or trying to sing in the head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
you could have this consulting business to where you can just charge me a fee and I'll hook you up with a little bit of knowledge. I'll give you a little bit of game for a little bit of knowledge. For a couple bucks.
Right.
Like, have you considered that, or is it just like the relationships that you are forming with a lot of these guys that you kind of shoot them some game?
I've strongly considered it, and it's in the process of being developed.
Okay.
But until then, you will be getting free game. You will be getting free knowledge. But when the door closes,
right,
it's going to close, but I'm not going to be unfair. Just like I tell my brother DJ Unique, he does everything for everybody in the industry. I'm talking about, I can name names until this show is over with.
Yeah, Unique has a good heart.
And he helps everybody, and he doesn't care what he's going to make as long as he helps you get
right.
forward, which is supposed to be returned in good faith. However, not too many good people
exactly.
on the planet. So at some point, you have to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm not going to do. And then some people would just get it from just spontaneity from being around you, just osmosis. It'll happen because they'll see you doing what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll just develop it. Oh, that's the first algorithm.
Right.
Us copying each other.
Right, right. It's know? Just yeah, seeing how you move. I like how you move. I like how you handle your business, how you conduct yourself. I want to do that. I want to be like him. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to walk how he walk, talk like he talk. To talk like how he talks, though, I have to read what he's reading.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I have to know what he's knowing. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I definitely agree with that, man. And it's so important, no matter what business that you're in, that you understand the ins and outs, no matter whether it's, like, you could be in dry cleaning. It don't matter. Like, you got to know right. all the laws of what you would be held accountable for in that industry. And if you don't know, you don't know. We promote black businesses here all the time. Like we have Craft and Queen Lonnie, we got Greenwood Whiskey. You know, we're at Blends too. You know, once again, we're at Blends too, 632 South Central Avenue in Hapeville.
Right.
Matt, get another drink. So we're out here and we're supporting and encouraging each other.
Right.
But it's also important that we also give each other knowledge, because that's where we lack. That's where we lack. We don't give each other the game to say, hey, man, there's a loophole in this business. I may know it.
Right.
And I may see that you don't know it. But I'm not going to tell it to you because of whatever that's been instilled in us from a long time ago. All this institutionalized, whether it's religion and whether it's coming
separation.
From
separation.
Right. Everything has been, it's like, I got to make it so you don't make it. Right. Well, it can only be only one of us.
Yep.
So where does that, like, where does your knowledge or what your spreading of the knowledge come from? Your educating, your love of educating others. Where does that come from?
Briefly, my story. I was raised a Muslim, and I was a very learned, high-up Muslim, where at 19, I was asked to be the imam.
Okay.
And so that wasn't what I wanted to do, because I just wanted to lead from the ranks at the time. I didn't feel like I wanted to, you know, jump ahead. However, God led me to becoming a Christian. And then now that I'm a Christian, I would like to consider myself as a learned Christian as well. So it's like I can see into two different worlds and know the difference between what is and what isn't.
Right.
So it's given me a position to be able to speak on two different sides and understand what, you know, the benefit of having one side is. So that's a small innuendo into it. But I'm a stickler for authenticity. So, like, when you asked me about my business mode, I came up with it last year, and I called all the celebrity friends that I know, DJ Unique included, and I said, I'm going to set up a website to where we're going to teach classes on artistry and on DJing and all that, but I want DJ Unique to teach the DJ class.
Right.
I want Jace For Real to teach the vocal class. I want KD from Soul For Real to teach the etiquette class, or I want the other one to teach a stylist class. You see what I'm saying? So it's authentic people that actually do this teaching you, instead of people that's trying to figure out how to do it.
Right.
Teaching you. And that way we can get a better class of artists, better class of just, it's not even about being an artist most of the time as it is being an entity. You know, somebody like a Dame Dash that he's just that person that just helped orchestrate everything behind the scenes, and he's a presence because of his wisdom and his knowledge.
Dame also has a powerful YouTube I saw it on YouTube. It was a podcast with Shannon Sharp, Club Shay Shay.
Nice.
That he's on there. He's giving he's getting a lot of knowledge on there. But in that scenario, do you find it harder when you're talking to artists and they're looking at you and they're like, oh, man, I don't see you with 8 million followers, or I don't see you with platinum plaques, or I don't see you with all, you know, and they don't understand what you do or understand how many years in the game that you survived and you've done what you were doing, but they have the mentality where I only listen to a Jay-Z, or I only listen to 50 Cent or somebody, or Russell Simmons or one of those guys. Do you find that resistance, or do you find more people receptive?
I used to get that resistance. Before I released my record, Motivation, in 2019, and in just 1 month, it got 123,000 streams without any promotion or marketing. Okay. So when I was signed, B Rich had signed me the week before I got the stats back. I was signed with No Genre. Shout out to B Rich and everybody with No Genre, B.O.B. and all them. So when the numbers came back, I was like, we got to change something. And he was like, what do you mean? I said, well, now I have some.
According to these digits.
You see, if you just put, I didn't put anything behind this record. We just put it out. Me and Unique hit the road, and we did a spontaneous tour overnight. And we get 123,000 streams in 1 month.
Right.
That's crazy numbers compared to, you got artists out here that put a record out, and they're not selling. They won't tell you this, but they're not selling no records, and they're not getting no streams. Their bank account is on zero. It's not moving at all.
Commissioner Gordon.
I don't know what you're talking about. But that proves that there's something else that's there other than just talk.
Right.
You understand? And so now when I talk to these young artists, I say, listen, man, my path is different from yours. However, I'm telling you that if you clicking on all cylinders, because my deal was offered to me, it was a $75,000 signing bonus. It was a front cover of all the major magazines. That was Vibe, Source, XXL, all the ones that was out, GQ at that time. It was 3,000 FM radio stations at that time. Mm. And that was going to be major rotation on all of those. And a bus wrap in every major city and demographic area for me.
Commissioner Gordon.
If you do all of that, that's called the industry package. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Right. You're in radio. The industry package is a $250,000 package.
Right.
You're guaranteed to become something after that's put out there. But that's what I mean when I say they don't understand. Even if you did it on a small scale as an artist, as an independent artist, and you cover all of those sources of media and you go out and make a move, you cannot not succeed.
Because of the exposure that you're being given.
Exactly. You're in every major market where everything that's happening in this industry is happening.
Right.
So you would have to be the biggest loser to not succeed. you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what you mean. That's what I mean when you said earlier that they knew who to pick. They picked somebody that had a niche. Man, he's different. We can sell that.
Right.
Like Cardi B. It's not all about Cardi B's rapping.
Right.
It's about her mentality. She's being sold as an entity because she's just Cardi.
And that goes into what I was going to say before. Like, people hated on Joe Budden. Mm. Because I think at one point in time, he was talking to Lil Yachty. And it was some other young artist that he was asking. He was like, are you in a 360?
Right.
And whether they knew what the deal was or whether they didn't know what the deal was, they kind of tried to brush it off. And he was adamant about, yo, you need to be right. up on your stuff to make sure that you're not into this 360 deal.
Right.
Because like you just said, they don't look for just the art of the rap anymore.
Right.
Or the voice or whatever. Now it's a look.
Yes.
Can we sell this look?
Right.
Can we sell this personality? Before Cardi B actually got on, mm-hmm. everybody fell in love with On Love and Hip Hop. She was funny. She was loud. She was outspoken. She was that person that she, out of that entire season, she was the one that everybody walked around, talked about, and remembered. And so they knew that if nothing else, she was a star.
Yep.
So even if we don't make but one album, she's going to do movies, she's going to do commercials, she's mm-hmm. going to be in fashion shows, she's doing all of this stuff now. She's doing all of this stuff now. Yep. She's going to be probably, she's going to be marketed more, and they're going to make more money off right. of her than just the music. But a lot of people who talk about the industry, they only see the music.
Right.
So that's one aspect of it. Like, are you conscious of telling people, like, okay, it's more than just being a hip-hop star. It's more right. just being a vocalist.
Absolutely. I was just closing a deal earlier before we got started with a guy that approached us at a show a couple of months ago. He makes, like, lighters.
Okay.
And, you know, right now, everybody has their own brand of weed and strain of weed and all that. And everybody smokes cigars. And so that would be a perfect thing to
right.
implement. And that's what I was like, yeah, so we'll put it in all the you know, platforms that we have, and we'll take it and make it something even more big, larger. But anything you can sell, man, that's it.
Right.
Like, some people sell their outfits. When I used to hang with Lazy Bone, he was like, bro, he said, I got 20 Corvettes. He said, all of them are worth, on a regular, $25,000 to $50,000 a piece. But he said, because I'm Lazy Bone, I can sell them for $100,000 a piece. That's $1 million times two. He said, so you got to learn how to take your money and make it into more money.
Right.
And make yourself an entity. So it's like, we need to learn how to enterprise ourselves. And then, guess what? When you become a major star in the United States, I'm giving away free game, of course. When you become a major star in the United States of America, you're just nationwide. But there are so many other nations.
Right.
So go to Switzerland and look, do it all over again.
Well,
do it. Keep going. And then now you're worldwide, like Michael Jackson. See, that's what Michael Jackson did. He crossed the borders. From nationwide,
oh, yeah.
He went internationally, And then he just kept flipping the same dollar, a billion, a trillion, million more. Because when you go overseas, there's not, we're not performing for 200, 300 people. They're performing for 2,000, 10,000, 50,000. And then the royalties are different. So, you know.
Yeah, I remember, I can't remember the artist, but I remember it was a guy I was around, and I was just talking to him. And being here in the United States, nobody really knew who he was. Mm-hmm. But if you Googled his name, he was a top artist, like in the UK. He was killing in the UK. And he had all these streams. He had plenty of money. Everybody knew who he was. Like he would have been like a little baby in the UK. But he lived here. Right. You know what I'm saying? But he lived here.
Right.
But over there, he was like, man, I can go over there and I tour. And the day I say I'm touring tomorrow, it's sold out out.
Yep. And the love is different over there. It's good to go and figure out where, like, that's the most fun part about it. When I go and check my stats and my numbers, and I look at what city, what state, what location is showing me the most love, then I go and put energy into that.
Right.
And then when somebody else sees it, okay, now you compete, make them compete against each other. Okay, Arizona's showing me more love than Utah. Guess what? Y'all need to throw it up. And then Utah can be like, oh, man, well, let's go try to compete.
Commissioner Gordon.
Right.
You know, and that's how I look at it. So,
and so, like, with that, like, Unique could probably speak on it, too, like, when you're going around. And, like, just I was telling my son, because he's DJing, and I was telling him, like, listen, man, I know guys who, like, they caught on, like, one of my guys, DJ Cash. DJ Cash, salute to DJ Cash, is one of my guys.
Salute.
He's up with Khaled.
Okay.
And he was doing parties. Like, man, I'm doing those parties over in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, it's a whole different vibe. He was like, these parties in Australia, man, they going crazy. He was like, people, you know, come over here now. Everybody in America's too cool to party.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got your phone out. Everybody got, you know, you want to show who you with, how many bottles you got. Yeah, they doing all that, holding it up. He's like, man, these folks going crazy.
Yeah. This is the programming. In America, we're programmed only to like certain things. The Crips over here, the Bloods over here, the Vice Lords over here. And we can only, I'm a Mason, so I can't like them. Oh, I'm a this. Overseas, it's like, bro, I'm sold out. I'm all the way in. I love hip-hop. I'm going.
Right.
It's a concert. I'm going. And it's like there's support. They're in support. And we just got to see that so that we can evolve above that mentality, that crab in a barrel mentality.
So I want you to plug the music, man, because I want everybody. I want you to get another 100,000 streams, man. I want it to go up. I want it to go through the roof.
Yeah, yeah. So on Instagram is One and Only Poetic. Right now I have a single out called Yeah. Like I said, I recorded it at Grand Hustle. We've been promoting it now for a few months. I'm gonna kick it off to a new level. I'm getting ready to shoot a video, release it, all that. So please go and on all platforms support it. It's on Tidal. It's on every major platform that you can download music, iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, everywhere. It's called Poetic, and Yeah, it's spelled with two E's and two A's, Y-E-E-A-A-H.
And follow him on Instagram, follow him on all platforms, because, like, Poetic is doing, you're doing a good job, brother, of promoting yourself. Like, I see the freestyles, I see everything that you're doing. Like, you're at different spots, and you're showing stuff that's new and stuff that you've done in the past. Right. You know, you like me, this is a brand new phone for me. Like, I'm terrible at finding old footage, and I wish I could find some old footage of some stuff that I've done in the past and post some of that, man.
Right.
But you do a good mix of it.
Yeah.
I don't want that footage, Dave. My family behind you talking about, I got some old footage. Nah,
that's what's up.
I got my son still in the building,
sir.
Dave.
Yes, sir. You don't get to see that.
Right. So, yeah, man. Transitioning, like I said, I want to keep it moving into, like, sports. Because when you have these young artists and these young entertainers, it's all about the same, because these young artists and young entertainers, they grow up the same pretty much.
Right.
They idolize a lot of the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you see now, like we talked earlier, you saw like Allen Iverson had his album. You saw Dame Lillard has an album.
Yep.
Shaq. Shaq was big in the music in culture. Period. Kobe. Whether it was dancing, Kobe had an album. Kobe had an album with and they had a song with Tyra Banks.
Man, Kobe was doing his thing.
Yeah,
rapping in Italian and all that.
Yeah. Right, and now I just saw a video of AB Antonio Brown.
Yep.
Doing music with Young Thug.
Yep.
So it's interesting how it all kind of, how the whole culture kind of coincides, man, mm-hmm. and how it all merges together. And like you've seen Kanye, we were talking about Kanye earlier. Kanye had a whole listening session with, and you would see, like I said, A.B. would be there. Right. Floyd Mayweather would be there.
Right.
Other artists like Madonna and all those people would be there. But you would be, it would be interesting to see, like, who he's associating with, who
right.
who's in that circle.
Yep.
And we always talked about, like, the Migos. Migos cool. They were doing their thing with Julio. They made songs about Julio and right. rapping about Julio and the Falcons. And then now the same thing with Trae Young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they and James Harden. James Harden hanging out with Lil Baby at yep. damn Fashion Week in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they got look like they got into a little bit of trouble. But, you know, they work their way through that. You know, ain't nothing. But they have people.
Yeah, and it's because we're so new, man. Like, this culture is new to us as black people. We're just now, like, when we were coming up, it was the grind.
Right.
Y'all know you tell your son all the time, son, you just don't understand. However, you know, we got to give them a little bit of grace because we just now got all these rich black millionaires
right.
and billionaires. So we haven't had money long enough. Like, 50 used to joke about it a lot. You know, you knew money. Like, mm-hmm. white people used to tell him. But that's real, because if you look at the early 1900s, late 1800s, when white people were first getting established with their money and making this system work for them, they were just as careless as we are right now. They right. were drunk all the time, mm-hmm. killing each other, brothers and sisters, brothers killing wives, I mean, taking wives and doing crazy stuff
right.
because they were just happy to have something that was theirs. So now we have to evolve with it. Like, my position, I feel, is to, like, man, Unique and I, we like brothers for real. Like we've been kicking it, what, since 14? And strong, like, we get into it. We might curse each other out, and we might not talk for a while, but we know we still good. But it's like we got to learn how to take ourselves out of the same. And that's one of the things Tyler Perry, you know, he does a good job of what he does. But I just think that we need to go to a new level now. We need to get off of this plateau right here that we own, that new money that I just got it, and look at what I got. And, you know, let's go now and let's start enterprising this thing and really making it something else.
Yeah, and it was an interview with Bun B. Bun B talked about how the more and more you see Jay-Z and the more and more money Jay-Z has,
mm-hmm.
the less and less flashy Jay-Z is.
Right.
Like, you don't see Jay-Z with all these 30 gold chains on, like everybody's walking around with right. all this stuff. You don't see Jay-Z. Jay-Z is just out because you don't have to look like money. You're yep. talking money. You don't have to look like money. You
That's
can talk,
right.
You can talk the money talk, and when you walk into the rooms, they know that you have that money.
Yep.
And that's what we have to do. We have to get to where we're not trying to outshine each other.
Right.
And it's interesting, like I said, to turn it over to sports, because I keep tying it over to sports.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of these players, especially in the NFL, people wonder why the NFL is still a sustainable business. Like, mm-hmm. why are people out here? You've seen the problems associated with the NFL, whether mm-hmm. it's you can't walk at the age of 45 in some instances, CTE, where your mind is deteriorating
mm-hmm.
In some instances. But you're taking young men from having nothing.
Right.
And not all of them have something. Not everybody get that Pat Mahomes contract where you're making $45 million a year.
Right.
But you're having more than what you would have been if you were, you know, if you were working at the local Target or Walmart.
Way more.
Right. So these guys are sacrificing themselves.
Right.
And what I will salute you again, because we need guys like you, because those young men also don't know all the rules and know the ins and outs of the game and what they're supposed to do, man.
Sure.
And so they're sacrificing their minds, they're sacrificing their bodies, but they're also, they need someone to come together and say, hey, this is how you take care of it. You got it, let's keep it. Because they had the 30 for 30 where it was broke, and they were telling everybody was telling horror stories, man. I was out gambling, I was in mm-hmm. Vegas on the weekend. I do this, I have 30 women coming up to the house, you know, and we just parties, 30 strippers, and just me and my boys or whatever.
Right.
But they didn't have anything before, so they didn't have anybody to tell them now.
Right.
So now that we got it, we got to learn how to keep it. And I think that's the next step for the generation to come, that now it's to sustain it and it's to keep it going and be money conscious and money educated.
Educated, right.
So yeah. Definitely, man.
My last thing I'll say, and that is, just like in sports, the hardest workers are the biggest superstars.
True.
In this business, the hardest workers are the biggest ones to shine. The reason why I can call myself the number one artist is because I went to each and every open mic showcase that they had in Atlanta, and I paid the dues. I went and stood in the lines because it's something I didn't want to do.
Say it again, because a lot of these guys, lines, they don't hear it.
I waited. I was patient with these people. I introduced myself to all the promoters again. I paid whatever they wanted me to pay. Mm-hmm. I got on the stage and I performed, and everybody in the building said I was the best performer in the building out of all of them. So that can't be mistaken. Then I feel like God giving me the universe back. At the end of it all, before I could sit down, all of a sudden DJ Jump Off selected my song to be the first song on the 2020 live mixtapes album.
Okay.
Industry Unplugged. What is it? Industry Takeover. My song is the first song on there with all these artists that everybody respects so highly in the industry. So it solidified that if you work hard and do what you know best, guess what? You can't help but get blessed from it.
And that's real, because what's the phrase? Everybody want to shine like Diddy, but don't nobody want to grind like Puff.
Woo!
You know what I'm saying? So, hey, you have to do it. Like LeBron will tell you, he's spending how many millions on his body. Russell Wilson will tell you he's spending how many millions on his body working in the off season. He's showing you on these commercials, and you don't get 20 years in the game by coming home, eating Twinkies, you know, drinking beers, and then go get back up in the gym. You got to work hard. Kobe, yes. One of the biggest things, we talked about Kobe earlier. Kobe would tell you, I get up before everybody. I get up at 3:30 in the morning, go to the gym at 4 o'clock. I'm shooting. By the time you getting up to go to the gym, I'm going home to take me a nap.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to turn around and get back up.
And go with you.
And go with you.
And outdo you.
Right. Because if you're not working like me, why am I going to pass you the ball?
Man, come on. And I'm the shooting guard.
Why am I gonna pass you?
Where they do that at?
So once again, DJ Unique, I applaud you. Poetic, I applaud you. All the work that y'all are doing, and shoot, for this man to be the DJ for the Lost Boys, for this man to be DJ for Foxy Brown, like it's a lot of guys that get complacent,
right?
That'll say, oh, I'm rolling with them, I'm cool. But you still out in these streets, you hustling, you doing the thing. Every day, salute to you, Unique.
That's what it's
about. It's
yes, sir.
It is what it is. I just wanted to shout you out, Poetic, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I be out here in the clubs with him a lot, man. Like, and being the artist that he is until what's out now is very hard. You know what I'm saying? We be dealing with a lot of hate. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to let everybody know, man, stop hating, man. If we build a team, man, we can't be stopped. You know what I'm saying? Just because one person got this amount of followers, they know this people, man, you need to hook up with that dude.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I learned. You know what I'm saying? I was signed a Bad Boy. You
yes,
know what
sir.
I'm saying? And I was at a homecoming after party and got signed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't even thinking I was going to be. And it was a difference from the club and 30, 40,000 people. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, man, I had the bubble guts and everything. They like, Unique, don't start. I'm like, yo, I ain't used to this, man. Like, but you know what I'm saying? It can happen, you know what I'm saying? From being there, and that's why I'm just trying to tell folks, yeah, I had a deal, but I'd rather tell an artist that I'd rather them go independent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because there ain't no more money in the industry like how it was back then.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you know Andre Ferrer, Heavy D, Goblet, everybody that had the money that knew the game, they did.
Right.
You feel me? So it's a different ball game now. So
totally.
I acknowledge all the independent artists out there grinding. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to you, Poetic.
Yeah,
keep doing what you do, brother. Definitely. You know, I'm going to support it.
Shout out to both of y'all, man. Both of y'all guys. Like, the energy. And, like, every time you come, Poetic, man, the energy is always love. And I love having you here because your input is always needed. You know, we'll play around and we'll talk and we make jokes. And then you come in and you joking with us, but you know, you giving some real knowledge, you giving some real facts. And so, like I said, you know, I love Unique, man. Unique, his knowledge. And I was telling Jay Reeske back here, my guy with the Garlitos. So if you need them Garlitos, yes, holler at my boy back here, you know.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Shout out to that shirt. Yeah, there
yes,
you go.
Sir.
You got that nice shirt. Yeah.
Yep.
So we're going to end this segment, this first segment, man. We're going to come back once again. We're going to talk some of these sports, man, because I got a lot of stuff that we got to cover. Man. Uh-oh.
Okay, bye.